Welcome to the Dreaming Machine. This is Joe. I'm with Amy.
Hi, everybody.
Today we are talking about Hilda and the Mountain King, which is the first feature-length episode of, well, not even episode, a film of Hilda.
Yeah.
So this came out after season two.
It carries on straight from the season two finale with the cliffhanger there.
Indeed. So the plan is for the first half of the episode of this podcast episode to talk about our impressions of the film, spoiler free. And so you just give our thoughts about what we liked and didn't like from it. And then after that, we can do a deeper dive into it with spoilers. So you'll get a spoiler. You'll get a spoiler warning partway through. Although having said that, I think, is it fair to say you kind of need to see season two in order to watch the film?
It's probably for the best. So season one adapted the first three Hilda books. Season two was, it was an adaptation of book four, The Stone Forest, with a bit of extra padding. Because of course, season one, you've got three books that you're spreading out over it. Season two is drawing out the stuff leading up to the conclusion of The Stone Forest. And I think this was a good decision for the adaptation of book five, which follows directly on from book four. It's a much more tight story as a result, but season two was very much a case of, we have to tell you this story to tell you the next one.
I think that's true. I think by all means, if you hadn't seen Hilda and you wanted something fun on, you definitely would enjoy it and you could watch it, but there'd be bits you'd be confused by.
Yeah. At the very least, you would need to see season two for it all to make contextual sense. And even bits of season one for certain characters to have context.
So without spoilers then, let's jump into it. Amy, what did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. Can we just talk straight away, because this will be without spoilers, about how good that intro was? I really liked the animation and the music there. I think that was done by a separate studio to the normal one.
It was done by Ant Studio, I think. Giant Ant did the opening credits.
Giant Ant, yeah. And yeah, it was a lot darker than the classic Hilda intro, but it works very well for this.
So going into it, I thought to myself, I want this to be a proper film if they're going to make it this long.
Yeah.
And so I was delighted to see...
to not see the regular opening title.
Yeah, and to see, well, very filmic, a proper film credits, like very dramatic, very stylish. The music score was on point
definitely
too.
Definitely dramatic, yeah. No, I really liked the music there. Honestly, I liked a lot of the music throughout this. There are some really emotional moments, particularly towards the end, where the music is just right.
On that theme of like the initial impression and it being a quote-unquote proper film, I just liked having the black bars at the top and bottom of the screen when they kicked off. Just in the same kind of vibes, I think I agree with you, the score, especially in the emotional moments, worked really well. And all these elements came together and made it seem like a proper film, which is a big tick for me immediately.
It didn't feel like an extended episode so much, which is good, because that again, there are alternatives for doing this. They could either have made season two adapt books four and five, and then maybe have either this be like at the second half of the season, which would probably have been too long, or it could have been a shorter thing. As it ends up, the adaptation is, I think, a bit longer than the story of the original graphic novel. But that's because you have extra characters from the show that it needs to cover the stuff they're getting up to. But we'll talk about that more in the deep dive.
The spoiler-free impression of that, I think, would be there's enough going on to justify its length, I felt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's as long as it needs to be, and it definitely needed to be this long. I think originally, didn't they originally want to give them 70 minutes and they negotiated that up to 85?
Yeah, that's great.
That was a good decision because it is just the length it needs to be to have everything it needs in it. It's a very tight film.
And my kids who watched it with me, they were there the whole way through. They didn't get bored or lose interest massively or anything in it. So that's a good sign too.
Yeah, there's not a bit where it loses you by waffling on too much.
It definitely just returning because you touched on it when mentioning the score. I think you even said it, like it's definitely got a darker tone, I think, to the main series. So the main series definitely has its emotional moments for sure.
And it's darker moments.
Yeah, although some of its darker moments are more for excitement and horror elements and things like that. But it just had a the whole way, just from the start, without spoiling anything at all, just more on the tone of it. It just had that like vibe to it, I think.
Yeah. Now, I've seen some critics complain about how The Mountain King doesn't have that lovely colour palette that Hilda usually has. Because Hilda does normally have this really nice colour palette with like sort of autumny sort of lights and colours around the town.
Yeah.
Hilda definitely normally has that. And of course, because of the subject matter here, with a lot of this having to take place at night or in caves, because of that, everything is very dark and muted. I would agree that's one place it suffers a bit, but at the same time, they work so well to like just weave that into the storytelling and into it being generally darker. And it means where they do have more bright, vivid colour palettes, it actually makes it sort of really stand out more.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point actually. I think so the opening credits are delightful, they're great, and that's exactly what I kind of wanted. And then I don't know that I didn't feel I agree with you, the visuals didn't pop as much as some of the best moments of the TV series, which I was a bit surprised by.
Yeah, it's so much more muted is the thing. It's a lot softer with that color palette it's using, because normally this show really pops.
Yeah. And it not just the color palette, but kind of the direction of it in terms of the pace of it and the scale. It didn't feel, yeah, I don't know. It just I think back to like the chase through like the portals like at the end of season one and things like that. It didn't like have like a wow moment like that, like from my point of view, I didn't think. Although it still had some great moments that were it still looks great. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. Yeah, it's great entertainment. It's really well made. Like lots of care and like love put into it. And there's some really interesting developments which we'll get into in the spoiler section. I still felt it wasn't. I don't know. For me, there's something missing at the same time. It was. It. I still didn't feel like they realized the full possibility of it being a film. It had a great start and it set the tone. The darker tone, the interesting credits, the score, and it had the story that was suitable for that length. I just felt like it could have gone even further in some ways, like in the direction of it and the pace of the story and things like that, and the scale of what they show you. Even though it's got these elements to it, it still just follows it like a normal episode.
I do think a part of that is in how faithfully they seem to have stuck to adapting the original story.
Yeah.
They didn't go too far in like taking too many liberties with it to really put in any big set pieces that weren't there in the original.
Yeah.
And that was probably a constraint they put on themselves. And Hilda has many times, especially when doing the original seasons, strayed quite away from the source material and for the better, But I think here, because they were trying to put all of this in a single film, rather than spreading it out over the course of a season, padding it with extra stuff, I think that constrained how much leeway they maybe felt they had for doing that.
Yeah, that's a fair point, and I think you kind of hit on maybe what I was trying. Part of what I was trying to say was about not enough set pieces, like practically. I think not as much as I expected, and that's not to say I wanted, an empty like action like thrill every second thing.
Well, no, that's not what Hilda's
Of
about.
course, but I still felt they could have used the scale of the, they could have used the status of it as a movie to do a couple of bigger things, and the direction to vary a little more from the TV show as well, and the kind of angles and they choose and the shots they chose.
Here's one thing I think may be influencing that perception, though, as well, which is that we're used to the show in a format where you have those sort of actiony, sort of exciting parts generally once an episode, which means we're probably used to them coming more closely together. Like, if you're binging a season of the show, you'd watch three episodes in the time you'd watch this film, and you'd have three big climactic things happen in that same amount of time. And this is a different pacing to what we're used to from Hilda.
And they do commit to that, to be fair. They commit to having the character moments and progressing the story in the right kind of way. So I think that's a very fair point about what kind of biases there might be and how we approach it. I guess the other bit for me was the story was very good and had some interesting revelations that we'll obviously get into the second half of this recording.
I think a lot of it was fairly predictable, but
Yeah, so the general comment for this section, I totally agree, is I think the story could have gone further too, like with the scale of the scale of what they had here. It, yeah, slightly predictable in certain elements, and I don't know, I felt they could have made it like even more epic, or they could have gone even more deeply into certain characters' backstories and things like that, or they could have like they could have really gone for certain. There were some really interesting things that came out, which we'll go into later, but I felt they could have gone into that even further kind of thing. So having said it's set up like a film, it ends up being like a longer episode at the end of the day.
I don't know. I think it's too different to an episode to really feel like a longer episode. Like, I definitely think to me it feels like something quite different from watching an episode of Hilda. All of the stuff is there that you get when watching a longer episode, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're thinking about different kinds of films, though.
And to be fair, I keep going back and forth on this, like in the run-up to recording this with you, Amy. I've been thinking, like, am I being harsh? Like, is that just the way I see it? Because it is different from a normal episode, I know that. I could see the possibility of what they could have gone for too. And I don't know, yeah. It's kind of it is different, but it's just yeah, I just wondered whether they could have gone even further sometimes and make it like less predictable and spin off even more from the show. But at the end of the day though, it is still a really enjoyable film and it's still Hilda, and like we were full of praise for seasons one and two.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you like Hilda, it's more Hilda, and it's got all the elements that you probably already enjoy.
Yeah, and these are nitpicky things. It I tell It's great, isn't it? It is great, and it's really well made. It's really enjoyable to watch. And there's a lot of effort and care have gone into it, as we said. And I think it's great as well that it exists, like that there is a film, because there's quite a few other animated series where they've pitched things like this. like spin-off films and things like that that often get rejected. Do you see, you know, lack of you know, Gravity Falls, like there's a pitch for that to be have a film spin-off. Avatar, Last Airbender.
I mean, there are also ones that have had spin-off films that haven't been done as well as this one.
Yes, I agree. So it keeps enough of what is good about Tilda whilst trying to do its own thing as well, that it, I think that's why it, that's where it succeeds really well compared to like other examples we could give. And it's a great stopgap between the seasons 2 and 3, I think.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see where things go in season 3 after this has resolved major plot points of season 2.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they managed to do that without it being an unsatisfying result. So the story is resolved like nicely, like within the film, but it opens up those details.
Satisfying resolution.
Yeah, so it manages to do that without being an unsatisfying like ending, as you say.
So shall we go into more detailed thoughts on the specifics of the film?
Spoiler alert. You have been warned.
From this moment on, we are in spoiler country.
Where would you like to start, Amy? I think we've got a lot of thoughts.
Well, so...
Yeah.
We should probably start at the start with it picking up where the Stone Forest left off. Hilda is a troll now. And meanwhile, back over at the house, Joanna's got Baba suddenly there.
It's a nice balance between being, you know, if your child disappeared from their bed, you know, and became a troll, like a completely different troll or something, you would be freaking out like she rightly is. So it does that, but while still having funny and cute moments and the kid's very cute too.
It's very good that Joanna has the other supporting characters like Alpha and Tontu there.
Yeah.
that's absolutely necessary there. Like Hilda can do Hilda stuff on her own, and that can be a focus. And then it's good to have Joanna having the other characters there to support her with the stuff, because she probably needs that more.
I mean, she's an incredible trooper through the whole film, that she's pushed through so much.
We absolutely stan Joanna here on this podcast.
I was still, when I came to watch the film, I was still reeling from the end of season 2, even though it was quite a while ago now.
Yeah.
Like that's a fantastic like cliffhanger ending, I thought.
I still can't believe Hilda is just so Hilda in this. Like, the first thing she does upon being turned into a troll is try to run away outside into the sunlight and promptly get taken out of the story until sunset.
I mean, that was... The start was fantastic. Like, not fantastic in what happens, because it's sad. It's really tragic what happens to her. And that's a big theme in this, is showing it from the other perspective, like the troll's perspective.
Yeah.
And just seeing things
which
from other people's perspective in
general.
Which, of
course, season 2 was building up to.
Yeah, and that was one of the strongest elements of this film for me, was that message of seeing it from other people's perspectives, very simply, but actually making you really feel that.
And again, season 2 had this overarching theme regarding trust, how Hilda doesn't trust people. Hilda ends up doing things that shows that people like Joanna can't trust her, and like breakdowns of trust between people. But you could see it was all building up to the fact of needing to learn to trust each other with the humans and the trolls. And that's where we got to in the Stone Forest, when they realized these trolls didn't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
And they started to see, like, oh, right, they're just like us.
And I think it's fair to say that they set that up pretty well, didn't they?
And this film runs with where we left off with that. The mother troll is a great character, by the way.
Yeah, and because of the end of season two, we're not totally against their character. Like, obviously it's bad what they've done, but we're interested in why she's done it. And seeing her follow Hilda, trying to plead with her, and her having a voice to start with, which
Yeah,
really
because
hammered
now that
home.
Hilda's a troll, she can understand the thing that they've not been able to do this whole time.
Yeah, and it's a massively different spin on like her. So it's the same character, same environment, but completely changed.
But now you get her perspective, yeah.
So that works really well. Just one quick Gemmell comment, which is I like it in Gemmell where I think some films do well when the backstory's out of the way. So we've set up the situation with
Yeah.
season two, we can just get into it.
Yeah, you don't need the setup. It's all done before this film, and then the film just goes with it. You know who the characters are, you know how they got where they are, and this film is about where they go from there. There is no need for any setup, and that's fantastic.
And they could have done that, even that they could have like recapped things just to pad it out. And it's, yeah, I agree. It's great they didn't. They just go into it, even if it alienates a couple of people. But
But yeah, so we get that opening, we get that Hilda's out of the picture, and then we get catching up on what all the other characters are doing. And there's an interesting note here that, as far as I'm aware, with the books, you didn't have the same kind of role for Frieda and David, which means as a result of that, they end up needing to have a storyline throughout it, but without that having any major influence on the plot, which I think their characters are fairly poorly done by because of it.
I agree with you.
I can't see how they could have done the adaptation as faithfully as they did without that. But it also, again, yeah, does serve their characters poorly, and you only get towards the end, like everything they're doing throughout it, everything they keep trying to do is thwarted in some way. But I really liked early on with the bit where you have the safety patrol presentation in the school, where they wheel in the TV with the video player and they put in the video, and I'm like, oh gods, they were doing this when I was a kid in schools, and apparently plenty of schools still had this fairly recently. Probably with some of the same videos from the 1980s. And yeah, but yeah, you have the Safety Patrol video, and it's absolutely terrible, and you have the kids in the class walking out and protesting, and I really liked that and hoped that was going somewhere, but unfortunately it didn't really end up going somewhere.
Narrative dead end. Yeah, and it didn't.
And that's unfortunately
Yeah.
a thing with everything they're doing, because they have to be doing something. So you have them doing that. Once they find out what's happened to Hilda, they're doing magic to try and do it. Everything they try, helping Joanna, all of that ends up thwarted. And the only contribution at the end ends up being Frieda is useful right at the end. And I think that's very sad.
That was a poorer element. I agree with you. I think what's frustrating is, like, I agree with you about the reasons for why this happened. As far as we can see, but it didn't need to be that way. So they
Yeah.
weren't. Even though, yes, we have to get them to do stuff because they're major characters in the TV series.
You could have
But
integrated them more with the story.
yeah, and some of the stuff they were doing was really interesting and enjoyable. Like the protests, as you
Yeah,
said,
no.
or the
I
magic
wish they
thing
had
was very enjoyable.
stuck. I wish they had stuck with the protest thing and carried that on all the way through to the ending, and you could then have the protesters show up at the ending, and that be a thing that contributes to turning the tide with the safety patrol. That would have been an interesting use of that side plot, but they didn't do it.
I'd almost say they'd rather like be properly involved, even if you have to change the source material, because the source material's still there. Like, it doesn't have to be that faithful. Or you just almost make a joke of the fact they're totally oblivious to the main story and going off doing something completely different.
Yeah.
But it's just this middle ground. And that's an example of what I hinted at in the first half of this episode about how they could have gone further. It was good. It was enjoyable, but they could have gone further.
So yeah, you have all of this catching up on what all the characters are doing. You have Safety Patrol getting more and more out of hand. And they're going around putting bells on every troll. And this brings us neatly back to the very first episode and Hilda's encounter with that troll. Because when Hilda wakes up, this gets to a very personal experience for me. So I'm supposing I'm the only one of the two of us who has hypersensitivity like that, right?
Yeah.
When Hilda first moves and that bell goes off, I knew exactly what she's feeling there. I've known it every time a bell has gone off near a troll this entire series. And I think the writers knew what they were doing here with this, because later on in the film, we get other little clues, like how the trolls have their collections of things.
Yeah.
And each of them has a particular special interest that they obsessively collect. And I'm just looking around this room at a collection I have here. And yeah, then we have all the stuff about the trolls just not understanding why humans do the things they do.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't make any sense. All of this together points towards them basically using the troll experience and the failures of communication between humans and trolls and how humans treat trolls as an example of the double empathy problem between neurotypical and autistic people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the troll experience is incredibly familiar to me.
And it's really interesting to get your perspective of it, as you say, because of the hypersensitivity and like your experiences. And I think it's test.
I get the same feeling that Hilda got from that bell, from things like mechanical keyboards or drilling on the road outside or all sorts of things like that. Absolutely set it off with me. I like to have my flat where everything is soft and quiet.
You see that's really, because the way they show it in the film, you can see, like, so I'm someone who,
it's physically painful.
It's torture. They show it as
it is
absolute torture.
And this is the thing people who don't experience this don't understand.
Yeah.
It genuinely feels like this. And I suspect someone on the team someone involved in this was very clear in this decision that this was, again, I haven't read the original book, so I don't know if that was in there, but yeah, this was a very intentional analogy.
And it was the fact that, as someone who identifies with that and someone myself, who hasn't had that experience, we both reacted to it. So even though, because they told us previously that...
you understood what it was. Even if you didn't have a personal experience of it.
And they previously told us about it, but now they showed us it as a very visceral, very believable, very intense physical thing, you know? And that was... they did that really well, even though it's kind of awful to hear, you're going through that, you know? Because... yeah, it is incredibly intense, and it shows that incredibly well with animation and her reaction to it and the way. And so that seems done excellently. But yeah, it's really interesting to hear your perspective on that. And so it's kind of with that kind of experience and with Johanna's struggles at the start and panic and being turned to stone. My God. It's incredibly almost, and actually even the safety patrol, their initial speeches and things, it's quite a downbeat start.
Yeah, and the thing is, things are only going to get worse. The thing is, for Hilda, things start to perk up. But yeah, for everyone else, the thing is, Hilda is absolutely... indomitable. She'll just power through everything.
Yeah.
Even at the start, when she is in such a low point there, she's still fighting the whole way, because that's what Hilda does. She's the sort of person who wakes up, finds out she's a troll, and goes out to punch the sun.
And I think it's around this point, isn't it, when she makes that... the deal, so she takes
where
it in her own hands.
So honestly, I genuinely think that when it comes to deals with the devil in this, Hilda makes the deal with the lesser of two evils. I genuinely think that the deal Hilda makes is with someone who, at the very least, while he's wanting to do something pretty nasty to the humans, you can understand why. And honestly, he's got pretty good reasons for it.
Yeah.
Whereas the person Johanna ends up making a deal with is someone who is purely in it entirely for his own glory, and has created this whole situation entirely out of him wanting to be the hero. And I genuinely think Hilda's deal with the devil is less bad than Johanna's. Because you essentially, with Alberg, you have Zap Brannigan going full Zap Brannigan. And Johanna is honestly behaving like Leela in one of those episodes where she reluctantly agrees to sleep with Zap Brannigan.
I mean, having said that, though, I'm interested. Would you say this as a negative point that is a bit mixed messaging about that character Hilda does a deal with, or do you think that's intentional and that works okay, that he's not meant to be the, we're meant to see her point of view and why she's going ahead with it?
So the thing is, Hilda is doing what Hilda does. Hilda will generally give everyone the benefit of the doubt, and I honestly think that when it comes down to it, we are given enough to see things from his perspective, and why he thinks what he's doing is best for the trolls. And I mean, he's not wrong, and Hilda gets to see things from his perspective literally by going into his eye.
Yeah, that's an interesting scene.
Yeah, they never explain that eye, do they?
It's one of those those random moments in the movie, there's the slightly trippy bit in the middle, almost dead in the middle.
Note the abrupt change of colour palette when they go there, and the incredible vibrancy of the reds and stuff. They really want to, emphasise everything with that scene. Those scenes, in fact, because you also get it through Frida's perspective, and even Alberg's later on. And I liked the repeated use of that, because, I mean, we didn't need it explained to us. It was pretty obvious what it was getting at. You know, all of the imagery of their mothers. Like, the first time we saw it, we knew what it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked the way they did it.
I mean, going back to the set piece things, like, not an action set piece, but, like, you know, a visual set piece or whatever, I kind of wanted more stuff like that, personally.
Yeah, that really hit well, like, something... Honestly, that felt a lot like stuff like... Like the beacon vision in Mass Effect. You've played Mass Effect, right?
I have not.
Oh my.
I should.
I am surprised. You have gone the last, 15 years without playing Mass Effect. You definitely should. Right at the start of that game, you get this vision, basically, of some kind of impending doom. And it's all a bit garbled, you can't quite make sense of it. Later on you get a better sort of idea of what's going on. But the important thing is that the meaning, that you grasp the meaning behind it, not that you see the details of it. And like, this is one of the things with the Hilda one. It's also in similar colour palette. And yeah, you get the important stuff from the vision in the Mountain King here, where Hilda sees the imagery of the city and then of her mother rising up in the middle there, and yeah, it's pretty clear what's going on, especially in light of what the troll mother tells her about the mother of all trolls.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like, as we're discussing this, I'm literally looking at my bone comic book by Jeff Smith, and there's like there's trippy like dream sequences in that where you get it without them spilling it out in ridiculously patronizing detail.
Yeah, the imagery gives you what you need to know.
Yeah,
about what's going on,
and it just looks great. I just like things that look good, like in animation.
Ooh, what did you think about Trundle's prison?
That was clever. That was clever, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, you have all the bells set up on the outside. See,
yeah,
that is the moment that it gave away there who was in that cave. You, before you even saw him, you knew who he was. And it was doubly confirmed when it was explained about there'd been this Mountain King.
Well, when I watch things with my wife, she always predicts things. Like, even from like the first minute, it's incredible. And I never do. I'm a klutz. I was really proud. This is the one time that I predicted it at the start ahead of her.
You actually got it.
But I mean, even though that was kind of predictable, arguably in terms of like his character being, you know, the Mountain King. And what I liked though was the journey and the cleverness and the way they did it. So the bell's prison, that's a nice idea. The trippy eye thing, that is a nice
yeah.
So the journey to get
also
that
the
enjoyable.
Fact that
yeah,
also the fact that he took his time building up her trust. Like, even like someone watching it, who's not young and headstrong and carefree as Hilda, watching that is like, you can see how he's grooming her there, where it's like, okay, do one simple little task for me. I just like this. Build up the trust.
Yeah.
And then if he could do this, and then there's one more thing I really need done that I can't do. And that's the big one. that's the big ask, the last one. And at that point, you trust each other. And by the end, you can see Hilda's finding him pretty sus. But she's also Hilda, and she has that recklessness.
Yeah, and I quite enjoyed that whole backstory with the trolls and the different approaches they could take. And
Yeah.
there's a great line about oh, so some trolls are good, some are evil, and it's like, well, are humans any different?
Yeah, it's like humans. Yeah. Hilda's so confused at the idea that trolls don't all just agree and get along. It's like humans don't.
Which is obvious when we say it now, but actually, it's but everyone's guilty of generalizing that way. And as soon as she says it, like Hilda, like thinks to herself, "Oh, that's an interesting point."
And Hilda's whole spirit, that whole reckless carefreeness, lends itself so well to being a troll with all of that stuff we see with her playing with the trolls.
And I felt it was kind of needed, a bit of lightness.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, just the funness of being thrown around. It's like a game. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we can understand that. A game of hurling ourselves like to dangerously in the air.
Oh, totally as an aside, because we're moving rapidly through a story, and there's a bit that happened a while before this. How did you react when Cedric got eaten?
I was saddened, I was shocked, but at the same time, I kind of hope they committed to it because I think that's another
And
example
you
where,
genuinely think for the rest of the film that they have committed to it.
yeah, and then
Like right the way to the very end, like,
and it irritated me a bit at the end when, as horrible as that actually
yeah.
sounds. What did you think?
No, like, I can see why they would have done that for like the amount of kids watching this, and but like, there were things I saw as a kid that committed to character deaths.
I mean, maybe I'm probably harsh. I think kids like should be exposed to stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. No, I mean, again, I'm an 80s kid. The 80s had the death of Optimus Prime.
Assume that gasp for dramatic effect.
But that was something that they committed to for quite a few years before they went and did the whole bringing back. But it was the first time a major kids franchise had done something like that
Yeah,
with such a major character of your own love.
I apologize in advance for not remembering because I should really give a shout out to the creators who've done this. But there's some really fun YouTube videos about like surprisingly dark moments in like kids' animation history that are well worth a watch, I think. I'm sure that would have been one of the examples.
Yeah. But yeah, we have that stuff going on
Yeah.
where Joanna is doing everything she can to try and get back. She can't get back into the cave because the mountain will only open for trolls. And of course she has those other trolls from the rival group to the troll mother's one, who are around, so she's not safe going there on her own. Even, with Alpha there, she's been trying to unbell the trolls. She's been doing so much. But yeah, she's kind of stuck. And you've got Frida and David again. Sucks to be them. We get a nice bit of Kaiser showing up, even if briefly. Telling them magic isn't going to work. They try magic anyway.
It doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. It is so sad that they're just stuck in this holding pattern
I mean,
the
even there,
whole way
like,
through.
it's a really fun scene when they're trying the magic, and then they could have had some like
Yeah.
some impact that lasted for the rest of the film, like from them misusing the magic, having been warned. And then they say, oh,
Yeah,
well, we'll do
yeah.
something different. It's like, oh, okay.
And yeah, they're constantly ping-ponging around and everything gets shut off to them. They go to the second in command of safety patrol, like maybe she can do something. But that's just as Joanna goes to Alberg and makes the deal with him, at which point she's put in charge of safety patrol and can't do anything to help them. And it's just so frustrating with them constantly being stonewalled everywhere.
And because it's kind of around the same like time period in the film, and it's just about like unrealized potential. Like, another example, I would argue. So definitely, like their characters agreed, and you know, God damn it, that pigeon should have been killed. This makes it sound horrible. Makes it sound
You
horrible.
really want that pigeon to be dead. You really have it in for the pigeon.
Maybe I need to like, maybe that's more an issue with me. But I think.
You know who didn't show up?
Who?
Woodman.
Whoa, of course. Yeah.
We didn't get any Woodman. I only just clicked now.
That's a weird omission.
We didn't get any Woodman.
Yeah.
Such a major character.
Yeah, especially when, well, yeah, less major characters.
You could just expect him to just show up, even just for one scene. But no.
Like, what if you showed up at the end and said, "What did I miss?" in his laconic style?
That would be so Woodman. I would have loved that. He just wanders in through the massive hole in the wall and just like strolls over and like picks something up. And it's like, ah, oh, I've been looking for one of these, and wanders off back out the hole in the wall.
I mean, to be fair, what I for me that wasn't a big blemish against the film because. Apart from
No.
Frida and
There was
David,
so much.
yeah, apart from Frida and David and a couple of others, where they clearly were in a holding pattern, as you correctly said, I think the characters were generally quite well integrated. It wasn't like here's a cameo from
Yeah,
so and so, here's a
agreed.
cameo from so and so. Like the characters around Johanna, that was great. Like that's something to do, and.
That whole circle was great, and once again, I still love Joanna. She's still one of my favourite characters on the show.
Well, here's the thing. This is my other unrealized possibility, right? Which is weird. I keep going back and forth on this because she's one of my favorite characters, and they don't shy away in terms of the darkness we were talking about for kids, about showing her like despair at the situation and her struggle,
Yeah.
like, and they really show that on her, like the tiredness and the stress and all that kind of thing, and they have, and trying to do it covertly as well, all that kind of thing. So I think that was all really well done, but it didn't really dig at anything deeper or make a bigger point with it, which might be me nitpicking or being unfair, but like in season two, we showed real strain on their relationship and the truthfulness with each other. As you said before about
Yeah.
trust, we had an episode showing flashbacks to how they got to that stage. I'm not sure if we want to know. Why they're on their own, but they could have gone into that if they wanted to. And it was like emotional and it was character driven and stuff, but it didn't quite, I don't know. I just had a sense they
I
could have done
do
more.
wonder if season three may give us a bit more backstory. Because you will note one of the things that Hilda asked, one of the prominent things that Hilda asked while she was having that conversation with the troll mother there
Yeah.
was like, if I'm a troll and you're my mother now, do I have a troll father?
Yeah.
And that was something Hilda went to because it's like, oh, wait, this is something I didn't have in my life. Is this something I can have in this life? And I really want to find out a bit more of that backstory to them.
That they did that bit really well. It was like very understated. But it was very powerful to
Yeah.
ask that question. That's really well done. And
I
yeah.
do hope season three gives us more good Hilda and Joanna relationship moments and maybe a bit more elaboration on them.
I don't think they would include that like randomly. Like there's got surely like that. There must have been a reason for using
Yeah.
that line, definitely.
Yeah, it was a thing Hilda that was on Hilda's mind, And yeah, I do hope it's something that gets touched on in the future and not just left there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think the stuff with Hilda touches at those deeper themes and bigger moments and the wider like mythology around the show better than the things with Johanna and with Alberg and the other characters does. Maybe that's my frustration, I guess. It's still great, though. It's still absolutely great. I'm being very
And then,
picky, but yeah.
yeah, and then all of that finally builds to the thing, to the big climax.
Yeah.
I am still on Team Trundle did nothing wrong. When you look at him, honestly, again, I will point out everything Alberg is doing, everything he's been doing to provoke stuff, it's all in the name of himself. It's all about him. With Trundle is like he doesn't care about what happens to himself. Like he deliberately sets himself up to die, knowing he's going to be killed. Like they
Yeah.
make the point, like the trolls make the point of taking everything to the brink, but not being the ones to attack first. Like once you have that face off, once you have that showdown, the trolls wait for the humans to actually instigate it. And honestly, that has a lot of shades of like actual sort of well-respected leaders of various movements throughout history. Like I don't think you can see him as a black and white, like bad character per se. And that's an underlying theme of Hilda through and through. Like, obviously his goals are to cause, essentially to cause the humans to bring about their own destruction, and Hilda manages to stop that.
Yeah, I think I kind of half agree with you. I think he does sacrifice himself. There is definitely a side to his argument, and it's very much understandable. I still think,
Given everything the humans have done to the trolls over the years.
I know, but like destruction, violence, I don't know. Like I still, and the manipulation he's done to get to that situation, like So I think he is like he still there's a lot of issues with his character, let's say. But I agree with you, it's not
I
like out.
have more of a radical appreciation for him.
Yeah, he's not black and white out and out like devil for sure. It's
He's
definitely
definitely not black and white.
I agree with you there, definitely. I mean actually because you mentioned Zach Bryan again before, maybe I wanted Albert to be more like that throughout the film. Because it's a bit weird. He doesn't provide a lot of humor during it. So he definitely goes darker. But at the same time, he kind of has a maybe a slightly unearned like ending, I thought.
Oh God, no, I mean that is pure Zap Brannigan though. He gets the big medal pinned on him at the end as the hero when he's the one who caused all the problems in the first place.
But they seem quite,
Like he's
they seem quite sincere with it, though, I thought, in the way they showed that moment. I don't know.
Oh, he's just oh. The thing is though, in real life, this is what happens. You get the people who are responsible for the really terrible stuff, and they are the ones who get lauded as the heroes for resolving problems they caused. And
True.
it's frustrating, and it's a thing that happens, and maybe it ruins the fantasy a bit, but the show acknowledges that that's a thing.
Yeah.
He gets the unearned glory because that's what happens. And it's going to irk everyone.
And that's part of the satisfaction of the ending, is it gives you nice resolution without it being perfect. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess...
Even get me started on... So to bring up earlier stuff.
Yeah.
The whole thing where the trolls get one day where the town is quiet and they can come in and be with their mother. Yeah. So when various public places in towns have that, where they have like sort of low stimulus days specifically for autistic folks to show up and use them, and it's like, that's great, but on other days of the year,
yeah,
that's still not a thing. And I'm like,
but that
similar feelings of,
yeah,
like not quite satisfying ending but a believable ending.
But that's the thing. That's what I mean by satisfying. Not in that it's a good ending. And that's actually, that is the exact example. The key example I was thinking of was, as Hilda's narration says, is there's still this mistrust. It's only one day. There's still a huge amount of problems they have to work through. But
yeah,
it felt very believable, I thought. Sadly, mm-hmm. sadly believable.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's part of why the film ends up working so well.
Yeah, 100% agreed. So there's a right balance between resolving those story bits. And there were like good things too. Like it was great how Alberg, by being awarded that and taking all the credit, Gerda finally gets the position she should have had from the start.
Yes, yes.
So there were nice things like that.
I hope she gets some decent stuff in season 3, even if it's just a small background role. I'd like to see what she does to sort of reform things.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nicely set that kind of stuff up, hasn't it? That kind of story stuff to come.
Yeah.
It's probably a nice place to end, really. Have you got any final thoughts?
It definitely met with my expectations. In some places exceeded them. In some places maybe a little bit of a disappointment. Very end there we finally got like something where Frida ended up being like actually helpful, using something from season 2. As that, again, from what I've read on it, I think Hilda just gave that narration just at the end.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing in the book. Whereas here you have, like, Frida acting as a conduit to explain how they communicate with her. And I think that's a good one.
Yeah. A fair comment, I think. And also, like, in terms of your general thoughts on the film, I think I basically agree. I think the reason why it was maybe more... And I use disappointment like in a very nitpicky way, because I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great.
Oh no, it's still a very good film.
Oh, it's great. It's
definitely very good, Hilda. It's just that there are elements where characters are underutilized, and places where they could have gone into more detail on things.
Yeah, and I think why I feared more certain points towards the disappointment end was because, having had the right kind of expectations, I think, going in, as soon as I saw the opening credits and got the vibe of it, I was really excited. I thought, oh wow, this is going to be like
a
really spectacular, really deep, really revelatory film. And it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. It doesn't quite commit.
I didn't get my expectations upped by the opening credits. I just thought they were really good. But yeah, I was very satisfied with this film.
Actually, given that how long we've talked about it, like, you can see there is a lot to take away from it in terms of like Hilda's family, the kind of the themes, the key messages, still uneasy relations between trolls and humans to an extent, different groups of trolls. There's a lot of there to unpack, which is like in quite a short running time for, it's still quite a short running time for a film. So that's
true.
So still really good. Still really good.
I definitely think it works far better as a film than it would have as sort of a second half to a season or a multi-part season finale.
Oh God, yeah. And like, and that was great because so many other films do feel padded out or don't, or like get the wrong kind of structure. I totally agree. So yeah, I think lots of big pluses there, I think. And yeah, roll on season 3.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I've really enjoyed that. Everyone, let us know what you think. How would you compare the movie to the TV series? And have you got any interesting theories for where we're going to end up? Thanks, everyone. Bye from me.
And goodbye from me, everyone.
Take care.